You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
All right, Ben Standick here for another Locked On Wizards podcast, but this is a role reversal podcast, as it were. I was kindly offered to come on the Mr. Irrelevant podcast, but we had a technical issue. I couldn't get on, so rather than scrap it, I said, well, why don't we just reverse it? You come over here, and you host the podcast. You take control. That's what we're going to do. So Mr. Jamie Mottram from the Mr. Irrelevant podcast, you can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Irrelevant DC. The floor is yours. Welcome to the podcast. Glad we could do this. What are we talking about?
Hey, Ben. First of all, I need to apologize for the technical difficulties. It was all my fault. It's amateur hour at the Mr. Relevant podcast. So I appreciate your flexibility and doing this role reversal here on Locked On Wizards. So I guess what I wanted to talk about was, you know, this Wizards season was great. Loved it. Exceeded expectations. And I'd be pretty happy with them just staying at this level, but of course want to see them improve, want to see them go further than they've gone in recent years and really in the last 30 plus years. But I don't see how they do it. I don't see how they get significantly better, especially relative to what Boston is doing and where Cleveland and, you know, never mind Golden State, where they're already at.
You make a fair point on multiple fronts. One, that you said you'd be fairly happy if they could stay where they are. And I know that, like, it's championship or bust. That's the world we live in, i.e. Kevin Durant going to Golden State on some level. I mean, you know, that type of mentality. We got to win the ring no matter what. But I always try to say to people, the reality in sports has got to be, the goal is to be in contention. And if you win the title, that's great. But you can't, like, well, if we don't win the title, it's all a disaster. You got to be happy sometimes. With the winning, the Wizards obviously had a great year, 49 wins, most in 40 years. John Wall, Bradley Beal, you know, fun young stars. There's a lot to like about this team. But in that,
well, hold on, let me interject there, because yeah, contention's great, especially in sports. I'd say the other three major sports, especially baseball and hockey, where like if you're a contender, like you're a playoff team, so to speak, you've got a shot at going all the way. In the NBA, like, it's just like the roster as currently constructed, it just doesn't feel like there's any realistic shot that they could make a run anywhere past the conference finals. And with Boston improving, I don't know, man. I'm just trying, like, you know way more about the Wizards than me, so I'm genuinely curious. Aside from like Wall, Beal, Porter, assuming Porter comes back, making like gradual strides, like, where does the significant, you know, how do they get significantly better? And what moves can they even make? I just don't even have any ideas.
Right. And just to that bigger picture point, you're right. The NBA, the reality is, it's been this way since forever. If you don't have one of the five best players in the league, it's very hard to win the title unless you have one of those Detroit Pistons 2004 lineups where you're kind of starting almost like four or five all-stars. It just becomes difficult. Obviously, LeBron has dominated the league. He's been arguably the best player for the last decade. Golden State has, you know, multiple guys who are at a pretty high level. And the Wizards, as great as John Wall was this year, is he definitely 100% even a top 10 player? No, I wouldn't say definitely. So that's the issue for the Wizards. Even if Ernie Grunfeld had banged out the draft a little bit better the last couple of years, Jan Vesely is at least a viable starting player. But if he's not one of those big guys, I don't know how much different the Wizards are going to get than what we're looking at now. So to your question, though, what can they do? What can they do? Here's what they can do. I think what they can do is they're starting five this year. They all stayed healthy. And when I mentioned that Detroit Pistons team, if you look at the Wizards, there are some similarities to what that Pistons team did. Not saying the exact type of thing, but you basically had five starters who kicked butt. The Wizards starters were way better than Boston's. And they were one of the, just by every statistical measure, were one of the, you know, three, four, five best starting lineups in all of the NBA. If they could stay healthy again, which is a big if considering Wall and Beal, but if they can do that again and everybody just improves at least reasonably based on their age, at least, you know, the younger guys, I don't see why the Wizards can't make another step. That doesn't mean they're going to topple Cleveland, but they can make a step. I think, though, if you really want to say, come on, Ben, what's that one thing that has to happen? I think it has to be Kelly Oubre, because he's the one guy that, realistically, he was not a non-factor in the playoffs, at least not a positive factor, but he's got crazy upside. He's athletic as hell. He can turn the building around. You know, he can get everybody going crazy with one of his spectacular plays, but he's massively inconsistent. His instincts are very raw. His shooting was not good last year. If he can do it, if he can make a leap to be at least a viable sixth man, I don't think it's inconceivable. In the playoffs, only teams only go six or seven deep, so Boston can get as many guys as they want, but is their starting five really going to be better than the Wizards? I don't know, even if they get Gordon Hayward and Markel Fultz.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else? I mean, I hear you about Oubre, but is there anybody else on the roster who you're hoping will make meaningful improvement and maybe be in like a playoff rotation? Like, is it Satoransky? Does he have that in him?
I really, really like Satoransky. I think the question with him is, you know, look, Scott Brooks is no dummy, and Scott Brooks chose to continually play Brandon Jennings and or Trey Burke over him most of the year. And both of those guys were clearly flawed players. Satoransky's got great size. I really like the energy he plays with. He's got very good passing instincts. But his three-point shot last year was broken. He's proven he could shoot in Europe. So I think that'll probably will work out eventually. But his ball handling, I thought, was not that hot. And his defense going up against, as a point guard, going up against NBA point guards, he definitely was lacking at times. So I think he's got a shot. Will that happen by next year? That's hard to say. We've been talking about, can he be the answer to the backup point guard spot? Maybe, but I wouldn't tell you right now that's a definite thing. And therefore, at least in terms of next year, I don't know if I can 100% say Satoransky is one of your top eight players.
So, I mean, what we're talking about is, like, you know, baby steps. You know, we're talking about going from what were they, 49 wins this year and a four seed that made it to the second round. Maybe next year, if everything goes right, according to what we're saying, and everybody's healthy, maybe they win low 50s. You know, maybe they're a top three seed. Maybe they're in the second round again. But it doesn't seem like any of this is going to push them. I mean, probably not to the conference finals, and certainly not past the conference finals, barring, you know, an injury to LeBron or, you know, Boston, a bunch of things going wrong with them.
Well, didn't you think it was? I don't know. Maybe I thought. Maybe I only thought it was interesting. Did you? I don't think we ever heard the Wizards once say this year, realistically, that the goal was to make the NBA Finals. They realistically kept talking about the Eastern Conference Finals because everybody views the LeBron roadblock for what it is. I thought the Wizards would have had a better chance to beat Cleveland than Boston because they can score in Cleveland. To beat Cleveland, you have to outscore them. Their defense is not good. But did I realistically think they would beat them? No, not really.
No. The Eastern Conference Finals felt like the ultimate ceiling for this team, and what they did, I mean, already I think surpassed expectations. But that was like the only regret from this season, is that they just didn't break through against Boston and make it to the conference finals. Probably the best. I mean, the way that Boston's lined up for the future and the way that LeBron looks, this is probably their best shot that they're going to have for a few years to get that far.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's interesting. Like I said, I mean, they're going to, you know, presumably add Markel Fultz. You know, Gordon Hayward seems to be the free agent that everybody's focused on with them, although maybe he stays in Utah or whatever. But, you know, Boston had more depth than the Wizards, but they didn't, like I said, any basic starting five they put on the court wasn't necessarily better. So if the Wizards could shore up spots, you know, 7, 8, 9, then the gap between them and Boston would be, I mean, it was already basically a 50-50 split, so They could inch ahead even if Boston gets some of these other players. Here's the one thing to give you some hope. The one asset, well, actually, we don't know if it's an asset or an anchor just yet, but the one thing that the Wizards can do, and I think they have to do, is trade either Marcin Gortat or Jan Mahimi. Now, Gortat is the likely one to go, and from what I've heard, seems likely that he will go. But the question is, what is Gortat's value in the league? I know coaches all year pregame would praise Gortat without being prompted because of all he does out there. He does all the dirty work. He's like an NBA version of a pulling guard, you know, all those screen assists. People like him, but he's getting up there in age and he's making $12 million a year. Can the Wizards trade him and get a viable piece or two back, or are they just taking some $12 million thing to make the salaries work and that's it? That's what I don't know. What is Gortat's value? And if it's reasonable enough where they can get some other stuff, then all of a sudden maybe the outlook for next year doesn't look as bad. Oh, by the way, Jan Mahimi, at that point, you better play.
Yeah, I mean, you say the outlook doesn't look as bad. What I'm seeing is Jan Mahimi playing 30 minutes a game, and that scares me. Should I not be scared by that?
I wouldn't be scared by that because, look, he's not going to make an All-NBA team by any stretch. But, I talked about this on a podcast a few weeks back. As much as everybody, crushed the Wizards bench for most of the year, and with good reason, in that 25-game stretch where Mahimi was playing real minutes during the second half of the year, the Wizards bench went from being about the 27th ranked in terms of net rating to basically just outside the top 10. And it wasn't like Brandon Jennings was getting better. And part of that was Bogdanovich also. Let me not just give it all to Mahimi. But once Mahimi went out, things went backwards again because you didn't have his defensive presence and rebounding. He's just a different player than Gortat. So my only concern is sort of how does Scott Brooks incorporate him with John Wall and Bradley Beal? Is he a pick and roll guy? Not as good as Gortat. I think it could look different. So I wouldn't be scared about it. I would just be concerned like, well, hey, is he going to play? We don't need Nene 2.0 where every year he's missing 20 games. So that would be my fear with him.
Hey, Nene looks great now. He started working out and stopped eating, it appears.
It appears, yes.
So I guess my last question is, like, what is the, like, even potential for the Wizards to land a game changer through trade, signing, draft, given that it doesn't seem like they have much money? They don't have much money to work with. They don't have a first rounder this year. We assume that next year's is, hopefully like bottom half of the first round. They don't really have, I don't know, trade assets. I mean, Gortat they could trade, but what's he going to bring in return? Like, where is there even hope for them adding a real difference maker to this team? Or are we just going to have to tinker with the pretty good team that we've got?
I think realistically, I like to set realistic expectations. I don't want to be one of those people that tells everybody, oh, it's going to be sunny outside, and then, you don't bring an umbrella, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden now you're all wet. I think, again, Wall and Beal and Otto Porter, and I guess even, and look, Markieff Morris and Kelly Oubre as well, they're all, 27 and under, right? So just based on that alone, there's reason to believe that all those guys can improve. But that's more or less what you're counting on. There just isn't I'm no salary cap expert, but there's no realistic way for them to go out and get, unless somebody wants to do like what David West did and take a lot less money to join the Wizards. Mm-hmm. The one hope I think you can have for this year in free agency is that maybe there is a player or two out there. I keep pointing to a guy like Jody Meeks, who I know won't blow anybody away when I say that name. But he's a 40% three-point shooter who's had injuries that sort of wrecked him the last couple of years. But he can play. Does a guy like that say, hey, you know what? Let me build up my value again. Go play with the Wizards. Have John Wall get me all those open shots. And if you get a player like that, maybe one or two guys like that, all of a sudden maybe you boost up your bench enough to help. But in terms of, like, forget getting Kevin Durant-level player. Can they even get a legitimate NBA starter? I don't see how that happens in free agency. My biggest criticism for Grunfeld over the years, he did it at one point, but the last several years, he just hasn't been ahead of the curve. He always seems like the Wizards are sort of playing from behind, i.e. trading these first-round picks. For the most part, those trades have done well, but they're rarely in a position where they have the extra asset or two that they can then flip. And that's where sort of, I think it's finally caught up to them on some level. They just don't have any asset to play with, and they don't have any cap money either.
Well, I think that's illustrated by me asking you, how we could get a game changer, and your answer revolves around Jody Meeks. it's a reminder that maybe we should be happy with a playoff team.
Yeah, and look, on the one hand, the Wizards were very lucky this year, right? Because their starting five stayed healthy. But Boston had injuries, Toronto had injuries, Cleveland had injuries. The Wizards were fortunate. On the flip side, they did ultimately come in fourth, as great as the season was for the Wizards. They were the fourth team there. I think Toronto probably slides back because Kyle Lowry, I think, will leave. But maybe Milwaukee jumps up because Giannis is a freak and he's ready to take over the universe. So I think the Wizards can still stay in that top four seed. But, I guess ultimately it comes down to what kind of improvements do the guys I already have make. I wish I could say there's an obvious move to make. I don't see what it is. If somebody wants to tell me, I'm all ears, but I don't see what that move is, sadly.
And you know, Toronto reached for it too with the Ibaka deal.
Yeah.
And you know, they ultimately had suffered a worse fate than the Wiz, you know, getting kind of embarrassed in the second round, despite, you know, making that big move to maybe get over the top. Didn't work out.
Right, right. And you know what, maybe, and I, again, I'm this is where my lack of salary cap, you know, I wasn't very good at math in school. You know, if they trade Gortat and do it in such a way that they can maintain Bogdanovich, you know, not that Bogdanovich changes the script, but if you can keep him, he's a legitimate NBA player, starter, six-man type. So if you can keep him, all these other guys improve as we're talking about, you know, does that in and of itself change the game? I'm not saying it does. They need a mother freaking point guard behind John Wall, because part of, I think, the problem with the second unit was they just didn't have anybody to run the offense. They haven't had anybody like that for years. If they can get that guy, then I think a lot of other pieces can get bumped up, even if we're just talking about the same kind of roster. But yeah, at the end of the day, I wish I had, like, I wish I could give you some better, more optimism on this.
I need like a wild, like Bill Simmons-esque, you know, theory about how this is going to work out, but I know how it's going to work out. Ernie Grunfeld's going to make a very Wizards decision and trade next year's first round pick for a backup point guard in like February. I think that's what we do. Like, I mean, that's how he got Gortat, Morris, and Bogdanovich, right? Like mid season first round pick trades.
Wait, say that one part again.
Isn't that how the Wizards got Gortat, Morris, and Bogdanovich?
Oh, yeah.
By trading their upcoming first round pick in the middle of the season to address a need?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, the Gortat one happened before the season when they knew Okafor.
Oh, before the season, yeah.
I mean, the Gortat and Morris trades worked out fantastic. I mean, I don't think anybody should complain about that. The Bogdanovich one looks like it could be pretty ultimately look negative, especially if he leaves. You rented a guy for 2 months, and you know, again, they just ultimately didn't make it any further in the playoffs than they had. But
didn't they also have to do that to dump the Andrew Nicholson salary? Wasn't that part of that deal?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I mean, that was definitely part of it. And yeah, look, I mean, I've been somebody who's probably one of the few Ernie Grunfeld defenders in town on some level, but it's pretty hard defending what happened this past offseason. At best, I mean, when Jason Smith, who had a solid year, but if that was the best move you made, that's not great. And you know, because of what they did this past year, when they had so much, it felt like they were trying to get Durant, I guess. They really tried to get Horford, and when all that fell through, they were like, well, now what? And it was like they were like me in Vegas when I have too much money and too much booze in me. They just went spending crazy, and they woke up going, oh no, what do we do?
So the next year's first rounder would be traded either for a backup point guard or to dump Mahinmi's salary. one of the other, possibly both.
That is a frightening thought, and yet I cannot rule it out. It is a reasonable point. Yeah, if you tell me they have to trade a first round pick to dump Gortat or Mahinmi, that we're reaching epic proportions of disaster. That would be brutal. But on the flip side, I can probably talk myself into the player they're going to get, because I do like to be an optimistic guy, even though in real life I'm the ultimate curmudgeon.
I as you were talking earlier about Jan Vesely, I thought of like a fun hypothetical, like as if they took Kawhi instead of Jan, and then had, because I think Kawhi went 15 that year and Jan went 6,
yep.
I want to say.
Yep.
So put Kawhi on this roster, maybe you take out Otto Porter or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, just because a lot of stuff would have gone differently. You know, maybe that is like the piece. Then maybe that would be enough of a piece to say, okay, yeah, the Wizards could go up against anybody, even in today's NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. Of course, the pessimists out there will say, oh, come on, Kawhi, even as the Wizards would have broken him. The Wizards would have
right.
He would have taken Chris Singleton here for somehow, because that's how things go. I wanted Kawhi is who I wanted them to take that year, but you know, what do I know?
I wish you were our GM.
if you played in fantasy football league with me, you probably wouldn't wish that, because I make tons of trade offers. I would bother the hell out of all the other NBA GMs. They would blackball me probably. Wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I remember Kawhi was like, there's a lot of talk about him fitting a need and, you know, having a lot of upside, but it was like the Wizards were drafting too high. Isn't that right? Wasn't he more like, it would have been a real reach, I think, for them to take him at their spot. And that might have been, you know, their ultimate downfall.
Well, it was weird because he was at one point considered in that range. And then for, I think it was a surprise that he slipped. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember why. I mean, he was somebody that I thought at six would made sense. But, you know, and I always point to people. It's not like when Wizards drafted Jan Vesely, the NBA world said, what a terrible pick. If you go back and look at all the reaction, everybody was very positive about Jan Vesely.
He stole the show at the draft. Absolutely. He like kissed his girlfriend, and I think he was asked about like, what country is he from? Where's Jan Vesely from?
Czech.
Yeah, so they were like, are you the like Czech Republic version of Blake Griffin? And he was like, I think Blake Griffin is the American version of Jan Vesely.
Oh Lord.
So good. So good. I miss him.
Yeah. Well, he may be coming back to the NBA. I think it's, he can play in the NBA. It's just, you know, I think he's more comfortable overseas, but I think I saw some reports that he may come back. My guess is it won't be here though.
Is there really that big of a gap between Jan Vesely and Jan Mahinley?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I actually think Jan Vesely, not to have everybody turn this podcast off, but I actually think Jan Vesely could play in this league. I've had conversations with people. He could do stuff. It's just he had zero confidence. I mean, he still can't make free throws, which is the ultimate downfall, I think. But he's so athletic. Yeah. He could play defense. There's points in his career with the Wizards. He looked like he got it, but, you know, I think Randy Whitman, who had no patience for young players, just sapped all the confidence out of him, and Vesely didn't help his own cause with his terrible free throw shooting, and he had to go. And, you know, he didn't have to go to Europe, but that's where he wanted to go.
What we learned is do not draft or sign players named Jan.
that would be a fair point. All right, well, Jamie, well, sticking to the Mr. Irrelevant philosophy on podcasting, we should probably end it here. I go long, but you keep it nice and tight on your podcast.
Sure.
You guys should check that out, the Mr. Irrelevant podcast. Where is that, on iTunes, I assume? Oh, no, wait, it's not. Is it?
Wherever podcasts are heard. iTunes, Stitcher, Bumpers, my website, whatever.
Awesome. All right, do that. Follow Jamie, at least at Mr. Irrelevant DC. Do you like people following you on your own account, or you want the riffraff to stay away from you?
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant DC. That's where all the good stuff is.
All right, deal. Jamie, man, glad we got to do this. We'll see if technology allows my phone to get Bumpers downloads one day, and then we'll try that again.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Ben, for having me, and go Wiz.
Hey, everyone. Ben here. Just wanted to mention something here at the end of that podcast with Jamie Mottram. The Wizards are going to have a new pre-draft workout Thursday morning. That announcement came after Jamie and I did that podcast. Not really any big names I'm aware of here that seem like likely picks for the Wizards. Honestly, I'm not even that familiar with too many of these guys. Andrew White with Syracuse. Tim Kempton Jr. with Lehigh. I remember his dad, I believe at Notre Dame back in the day. Six seniors. It's a sign that these are not, so no underclassmen. So not necessarily a group that you're looking at for the second round pick, but nonetheless, you take a look, you kick the tires, you see what you got. The Wizards are doing that on Thursday. At the moment, I plan on being there, and if I do officially go and see anything, I will let you know on the upcoming podcast. That's it for now. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Signing off. Until next time.
Everybody just deal. Gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Tye caught. Home drive. Off-balance shot. Dagger! Oh.